So before I start, I'm going to pause. I got a text from somebody I work with. And just a little backstory. He had asked for some time off from work to go down and visit his brother who was dying. And on his way back, I don't know how many of you heard about a murder up in Racine. His niece was murdered. 5 children, domestic dispute. I heard they caught the person. But so they had the funeral Friday, and I just got a text Saturday. His nephew committed suicide. So he's asking for prayer. So I thought we'd just take a moment. There's so much stuff going on. I had another employee that his cousin committed suicide. It devastated him. It opened doors to talk to him about the Lord. And couldn't even relate a Bible story because he'd never opened the Bible. But got him a Bible and stuff. I see all these things happening, but, you know, we're a light in a pretty dark world. Amen. You know, so we're just going to take a moment. Father, I just lift up this family to you that's just going through life in a pretty serious way. And the only thing I know is to ask you to intervene. There's no healing that I can bestow. There's no comfort that I can bestow, but just your presence changes everything. So, Father, I ask that you meet each one in the manner that they need to be met by your presence. Touch them in a way that they need to be touched. Comfort in the way they need to be comforted. Let them just somehow experience your presence, your loving kindness during this time, that they can rise above, keep their head above water, and simply breathe. Father, I just ask for your blessings to come upon them in ways they can't imagine, and I pray that they just find you in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm debating my whole message. One, because I think it's way too long, and I'm very gracious towards you. And two, because my wife was saying, you should make this like a 5-parter. So it tells you it's very long. But let's do this. Heavenly Father, you just have control. Yeah. Lord, and I know that you know the heart of every person here. And I know that you know exactly what they need from you, what would encourage, what would comfort, what would strengthen. So, Father, I just ask that you speak to each person that which they need so that they would know they've encountered the living God and that they would feel renewed to go into life this week and just see it change. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. So I've talked for years and years, for some of you are saying in years, about the kingdom of God and how this whole dynamic works and how it changed everything and how really Jesus, when he came, he changed the mindset of what religion was meant to be. And he didn't break all the rules. He fulfilled all the rules. But he basically said, do away with the rules and try relationship with me. Yeah. And it changed everything. And there's this whole dynamic as we've talked about these things that I get in my own life in relating to God. But I'm challenged even more so by the Lord's commandment to love God, right, with everything you are. and then love your neighbor as yourself. And that is so much more difficult for me to work through. It speaks to me loving myself, which I don't know about you, but I see all my faults. Trust me, you only see a few. I know them all. You cannot criticize me something that I don't already know. You could try, probably won't have any effect because I've already criticized myself enough. I know me, but he knows me better. So then how do I love people if I look at myself and I have so much criticism and all these things going on in my mind? So I've been trying to figure out through the years, and I've wanted to get on this subject for a while and take us through a season where we're just exploring, going on adventure together, really what it means that they'll know we're as disciples by our love for one another. What does that look like? What does the kingdom of God on earth look like? Because it's not just vertical. It's horizontal. It's me connecting with you in a manner that people can see we're different. So this is kind of the start of it for me. I don't know where it'll take it. I know if you come up to me and say you have a message, I'm going to want to link it into this premise, this foundation for a season. I think it's really important that we have some cohesion to all the people that share. And I really love that a number of us share because it gives us a better perspective of truly what God is trying to speak to us. But we should be connecting and relating in a manner that's different than the world connects and relates. And it should be seen. And it should be something that people desire. Why? Because I died with Christ and he lives in me. You died with Christ and he lives in you. He has no problem relating to himself. You see it in the Trinity. Perfect unity. So I'm kind of on this path, and I'd like you to join me. How can we better represent Christ in our relationships with one another? Okay? So, I mentioned earlier I'm gracious to you. And because of that, I got dressed this morning. Thank you. You're welcome. You know, there was a time in life, the creation, that they didn't worry about such things, right? And got up, showered, put on undergarments, put on a sock, you know, shirt, even a buckle so the pants didn't fall off because they don't have much to hold it up. And there's things we are to wear in the kingdom of God. And the Bible tells us basically to, you know, get dressed every day. So I want to talk a little bit about that. So you with me? All right. So I titled this, Clothe Yourself. But it's basically about how we're to treat one another. Colossians 3:12. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. So I want to break down this. Now, obviously, if you look at this passage, you can kind of know where I'm heading, right? Main points are clothe yourself, right? Compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. So that's five items beyond clothing yourself. So I'm going to take the wisdom that I'm sure God imparted to my wife today and only talk about compassion so I don't go 3 hours. Wouldn't be as bad if I like catered in a meal and just kept talking, you guys ate, but I don't want to lose you because your stomachs are rumbling. And I also think it's relevant that I got the text when I got it, and just things going on in life that we all have to deal with. So this verse is speaking to you. And you need to be able to relate to it. I'll read it again. Therefore, as God's chosen people. Now, I don't know how you live your lives. I don't know how you think of yourself. I really don't have an issue looking in the mirror and saying I'm God's chosen. Because his word says I am. And it really doesn't matter what I think or feel. His word is true, and it says I'm God's chosen people because I have made him Lord and Savior of my life. He's made me a new creation in his image for a purpose. And word says that before the foundation of earth, he chose me. Doesn't matter what I think or feel. Fact is fact. Right? And in accounting, we reckon facts. And they balance out. So you need to be able to look at yourself and realize you are chosen. You're not a mistake. You have a purpose. You're here for a reason. God wants to impart something to you today. Doesn't matter who's speaking. He will speak to you. That's the only relevant thing, is that your ears are attuned to him. You're not only chosen, you are holy. I was talking to, had a visitor at work, and he started his own business, and he was pitching us his services, and I noticed the name of it. His business had the word covenant. So at the end of the meeting, I had to ask him about his name, Covenant, because that's not normal. He said, well, it's because of, you know, I gave my life to my Lord Jesus Christ, and he's center of everything I do. So, knowing that my business partner is not really into that unless it is a positive for the business, then he'll always bring it up. I waited till he left, and I picked up the phone and called the guy. He said, I need to explore this a little more. So I got his whole testimony and stuff. And he said some things to me that, you know, I've addressed here before. You know, how he came into darkness and now he's made Jesus Lord and he's striving for these things. And I was like, I have a different view. You know, when you make Jesus Lord, he makes you a new creation. Striving's over. Yeah. You know, believers don't have a sin issue. And I know we love to talk about that, those types of things. But we're talking about the wrong thing. If you know who you are in Christ, sin's not an issue. Sin's not an issue for Christ. If you're dead and he's alive in you, sin is not an issue. So what's the issue? Identifying with Christ. That's the only issue. As like, we have to realize the freedom that he purchased for us. It is for freedom he sets you free. Live free. Quit chaining yourself. Quit thinking just because you know, you do something that used to be considered sin, that now you're a sinner. If you're a saint, you're a saint. If he says you're holy, you're holy. Identify with being holy and you will live holy. Identify with being free and you will live free. Identify with Jesus and you will look like Jesus. So then I apologized for preaching to him on the phone because I really didn't know this guy, but he's like amening and praising the Lord and all these things. So I think he got the message. I'm looking forward to more conversations with him. But you know, you are holy because he's made you holy. Now live holy. Don't strive to live holy. Live out of who you are in him. Better yet, let him live out of you. And dearly loved, chosen, holy, and dearly loved. We could spend the rest of our lives talking about the love of God and still not fully grasp the depth of his love. But we have to realize these things. And for some of us, I think it's such a struggle because we relate to striving. You know, you've heard the story about animals that were raised in chains or raised in cages, and they're set free and they go back to the cage or they go back to the chains. They don't go beyond the boundary because that's all they've known. You've been called to live beyond the boundaries. You've been called to live free. You've been chosen, holy, and loved. But there is something we have to do every day. What's that? Get dressed. Some of you just need to give yourself a break. Quit trying to accomplish things you weren't meant to accomplish and realize that Jesus accomplished it all for you. Rest in him and live. But get dressed. Clothe yourself with compassion. So I want to look at this. The word clothe here is enduo. And I like how it breaks down. It's actually a sinking into the garment. You know, we think of something covering us up, right? It's really not what it means. Do you ever hidden, like, get a pile of leaves and dive into it? You know, you didn't put the leaves on. You were engulfed by the leaves. And it's really talking about that. It's more than just putting it on. And you can go from the root word to the root word to this word to that word, but it really means getting engulfed with, to go down into it. So we think of clothes as putting clothes on yourself to dress or to provide somebody to give them clothes. But I like this other definition, is to endow with a particular quality. So it's not so much that daily I need to pause and put on compassion. But it's daily, I need to sink into him and compassion comes out. So when I see myself and how I respond to people, and I have any hesitation or struggle with compassion, the activity that I need to do isn't to figure out how to feel or think compassionately towards them. It's to sink into him. I don't work up compassion. I don't work up feelings. I don't strive for those things. I can only strive for one thing, to know him and him crucified and him resurrected and him eternal, and to lean into that and let myself be engulfed by him so he comes out. Because what the world needs now isn't Bruce. The world does need Christ in Bruce. And the world does need Christ in you. And for many people, they may not see or encounter Christ unless you're present. But you must clothe yourself. Romans 13, 14 puts it this way, rather clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ. Rather clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ. Simply sink into him. Now, compassion, without a dictionary, that I probably pretty much wouldn't have a clue. It's not a natural component of my DNA. You know, one thing you'll find if you don't know me is I'm really brutally honest in my perspective. Doesn't mean it's true, it's just a perspective, right? And as I mentioned before, I am a pretty good critic of myself. So I have a lot of walls in my life that I put up as a kid, and I didn't think people were worth a whole lot unless they were willing to break through my walls and get to know me. And I was fine with those that weren't. I was also fine with everything they thought about me. But I really learned to appreciate the ones that would look past all the walls, all the crud, you know, and whatever they had to do to get over my walls and get to know my heart and just accept me. And it changed my presentation of who I was to those people. But compassion was always hard for me because I was so hard on myself. And I've learned that, I tell my wife this all the time, I don't love well, but God loves well through me. You know, I don't naturally have compassion well, but my heart breaks with these stories when I see it and feel God's heart for what's going on in people's lives. See, when I can take my eyes off of me and put them on him, it changes everything. So when it says clothe yourself with compassion, it's really saying get in step with the heart of God in this situation. Feel what he feels. See it how he sees it. So the word compassion is a really hard word to pronounce. Compassion is a lot of, it's splanknon. Yeah, exactly. And it really talks about feeling deep. Talks about the intestines, the bowels, this feeling deep down. And it uses words like pity and mercy, and or to exercise pity. The English definition makes some sense to me. It says a sympathetic consciousness of others' distress together with a desire to alleviate it. And I think of, you know, the story in the Bible with the Good Samaritan. And how many people walked by and they could see the stress, right? And it was only him that had a desire to alleviate it. He had compassion. And I think of all the opportunities in the last few weeks I've had in my life, and I can't imagine all the opportunities you guys have had in your lives, to clothe yourself with compassion. And I think of all the times I probably failed to do so, where God opened a door and I didn't fully step in because I didn't tap into his heart for the situation. And I'm telling you, we have to get dressed every day. The world is depending upon it. So I looked up some things on compassion, and I will not profess that any of them are true, because it starts off with scientific research. And you can pretty much make that be whatever you want it to be. But I thought some of it was interesting, so I'm going to share it with you. On the effects of compassion, I often think God tells us things for our own benefit. Sometimes we think he just likes to boss us around, and we don't understand all the benefits we have if we just obey joyfully. So, preliminary findings suggest that being compassionate can improve health, well-being, and relationships. Here are some of the findings of some research that was their conclusions. Compassion makes us feel good. Compassionate action activates pleasure circuits in the brain. It strengthens the brain's circuits for pleasure and reward and leads to lasting increases in self-reported happiness. Being compassionate, tuning into other people in a kind and loving manner, can reduce the risk of heart disease by boosting the positive effects of the vagus nerve, which helps to slow our heart rate. One compassion training program has found that it makes people more resilient to stress. It lowers stress hormones in the blood and saliva and strengthens the immune response. On average, compassionate people's minds wander less about what has gone wrong in their lives or might go wrong in the future. As a result, they're happier. Compassion helps make caring parents. Brain scans show that when people experience compassion, their brains activate in neural systems known to support parental nurturing and caregiving. Compassion helps make better spouses. And if my wife was here, I'd ask her to forgive me. Compassionate people are more optimistic and supportive when communicating with others. Compassion helps make better friends. Studies of college friendships show that when one friend sets the goal to support the other compassionately, both friends experience greater satisfaction and growth in the relationship. Feeling compassion for a person makes us less vindictive towards others. Restraining feelings of compassion chips away at our commitment to moral principles. Employees who receive more compassion in their workplace see themselves, their coworkers, and their organization in a more positive light, report feeling more positive emotions like joy and contentment, and are more committed to their jobs. Compassionate societies, those that take care of their most vulnerable members, assist others' nations in needs and have children who perform acts of kindness, are the happier ones. So you see a lot of conclusions of the benefits of compassion. And I read all those things and I say, Lord, it's not compassion as much, it's just putting you on. Sinking into you. Wherever life takes me, knowing you're present. Knowing that I don't have to be overwhelmed by it. I can just be overcome by you. Clothe myself with you, God. There's a lot of verses that I have just demonstrating that he was moved with compassion. Psalms 145:9, the Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. And it's interesting to me to look at all the studies that have gone on and understand what it's meaning and then see God has demonstrated throughout his word and his relationship to us. He has compassion for you. He is compassion for you. When you go to God with your stuff, he has compassion for you. You can trust him in every situation. He is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. Matthew 9:35, Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Matthew 14:14, when Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. See, he was moved to activity to meet the needs of those he showed compassion towards. How much more is he moved to meet your needs when you are his? You never have to go through life alone. Simply clothe yourself with him. Matthew 15:32, Jesus called his disciples to him and said, I have compassion for those people. They have already been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. I do not want to send them away hungry, or they may collapse on the way, which is why I don't want to speak too much longer. Don't want to see you start dropping off. Matthew 20:34, Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes. Immediately they received their sight and followed him. Mark 1:41, filled with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. I am willing, he said, be clean. 2 Corinthians 1:3, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort. James 5:11, as you know, we consider blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. So I'm going to stop with compassion, because I'm sinking into him. There's also kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, and we'll talk about all those another time. Now, I want you to remember, we're talking about kingdom living. And kingdom living is dependent upon your relationship with God. And everything in kingdom life comes out of that. So what am I saying? I'm saying my horizontal relationship has to flow and overflow from my vertical relationship. Yeah. Okay, so when I say clothe yourself with compassion, what am I saying? Relate to God who is compassion. And he will put you in circumstances with one another to display himself. and his compassion. See, when we do that, we're living in his kingdom. We're relating how we're to relate in his kingdom. When we do that, we have something to give the world. Without that, we have nothing but striving and emptiness and weariness that leads some to take their lives. In him, you have everything. Everything you need. Abundant resources. Fullness. The full measure and stature of Christ. Just put them on. So stand with me. It says, therefore, as God's chosen people, that's you. Shut your eyes. And see yourself standing before the Lord. I don't know how you see yourself, but I see Jesus. I see the Father with his arms open wide. When my grandkids come into this place, the first thing I do is open my arms. Because I want them to come running. And I want to engulf them with me. That's what he wants to do for you. Can you see it? Can you see that you're chosen? That you're holy? That you're dearly loved? Your Father's just waiting to engulf you. He's waiting to clothe you with himself. Just approach the Father. And what you'll get is a garment of compassion. Not for yourself, but for all those around you. And you will see him move throughout this week like you've not seen him move before in your life as you share him with others. So Heavenly Father, I bless your people with you. And all that you want to bring into their lives. And I pray that they will learn to rest in you and that they will get dressed every day of your garments, especially the one of compassion, so that it will change somebody's lives and they will encounter you through them. And I thank you for your presence. I thank you for more awareness of your presence. I thank you for more awareness that you've never left us. You go with us wherever we go. Because we're chosen, we're holy, and we're dearly loved because you've said we are. And I bless your people with that truth. In Jesus' name, amen.